Coming up, it's the summertime edition of Before You Buy. We've got flashlights you can clamp to various parts of your body or your campsite. We've got the dash cam cameras, like as seen in Russia, and a blow dryer for your barbecue. It's time to watch Before You Buy!
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CacheFly.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Nature Box, where you can order great tasting, healthy snacks delivered right to your door. Forget the vending machine and get in shape with healthy, delicious treats like apple pie oat clusters. To get 50% off your first box, go to naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit.
This is crazy. Plus a Firefox phone, a wet, dry robotic vacuum cleaner. We got a ton of stuff. Whew, today on Before You Buy. Welcome, everybody, to Before You Buy, the product review program on the TWiT Network, where we get some of the most interesting stuff. And this time we're going to do kind of summertime campground stuff. And we give it to our staff and let them see what it's like to use it. We're going to start off with my old friend, Chad Johnson here, the producer of many of our shows and, of course, host of OMG Chad's Minecraft.
OMG Craft.
What's it called? OMG Craft. I gave it the short version as OMG Craft, but it really stands for OMG Chad Johnson's Minecraft show.
Yeah. About the game Minecraft, which has blocks that are about cubes squared. That's the whole title.
You know what
it's
I'm
like
talking.
It's like Marasa.
Apparently, it's taken off big.
I hope so.
I talked to a guy who said my kids have watched every one of these episodes. They love this show.
Thank you.
Chad also hosts Reddit Up, which is our new show about Reddit. What else do you do? Is that everything?
Well, I produce your shows, TWiT, Twig, Mac Break Weekly, TD Triangulation.
So we gave you some flashlights. That's kind of a...
GizWiz, that
the
show.
The GizWiz. You're on the GizWiz. I forgot. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to blind you.
Oh, wow.
This is the kind of thing Dick DiBartolo would love. He loves flashlights. He loves LED devices. These are called the Blackfire Clamp Lights.
Right. And I'm doing this a live review, so...
All right, well, should I give you these?
Yeah, probably give me one of them at least. So this is kind of a series by Blackfire, and we reviewed these on GizWiz.
Especially, you did?
We did, right. So this is kind of a cross review. The main idea is that they're camp lights that you could take camping with you. They have a clamp, so you could clamp it to your tent or to the barbecue or to the table. And they have kind of a nice feature that the clamp will also open up and then stay open if you push this latch, which you might think, well, that's kind of silly, but you can move these feet down, and now it becomes a stand.
Oh, it stands by itself.
It stands just by itself.
Oh,
now,
nice.
It doesn't quite stand that well on these leather chairs, but you get the idea. You could easily put that on a flat surface or on the ground. Then the top of the light swivels. This one just kind of snaps into a few different locations. There's another, this is kind of like and both of them, their clamp is sized such that you could easily just use this as just a normal flashlight if you were out camping or in the house or whatever. They have this larger one, has a few different modes. This is also a lantern, so it has just normal lantern mode, has a brighter lantern mode. It has a flashing lantern mode.
Yes, that's the one
I found. You know,
it's also got a light on the top, so
it does.
You have a flashlight.
And so it
as well.
Does have, and that only has one mode. That only has one. Yeah. There isn't a brighter or flashing mode.
This is a revolution in flashlights, is LED technology,
because
you get very, very bright lights.
An
incredible battery life.
Yep. Yep.
For camping, especially.
Yep. And LEDs this uses just one LED in there.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just a single LED.
But a lot of reflector.
Yeah, a lot of reflector. Yeah, that's definitely the idea. This uses three AA batteries, this larger one, and the smaller one uses three AAA batteries, and the feet here just can kind of move back in place.
Now, you probably didn't have enough time to run these down. Do they claim how much battery?
Yeah, I didn't have enough time to run these down.
No, you'd have to have them for a month to run them down.
For really a long time. The cool thing about both of these is they're also waterproof. They claim on the box it's a type of waterproof rating. It didn't say to how many feet. The top of this also has a little thing if you want to
hang
it on
the inside. I do that in the tent. You hang it from the center of the tent, and then you have like a little light in the tent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This one's
great.
Kind of nice. It has a little swivel head.
That's
so
like a Boy Scout flashlight.
Yeah, it's very easy to...
not magnetic, though. You have to use the clamp.
Right, you have to use this clamp.
This could be used as a work light at home.
Oh, yeah,
when you're not
easily.
Camping.
Yeah, and this one takes 3 AAA batteries. The top of it kind of removes
pros
out
and
like
cons.
That. Pros are that the LEDs are very bright. It does have 3 different modes, bright, medium, and flashing. And the clamp and stand is really, really nice.
You're an Eagle Scout.
I am an Eagle Scout.
The flashing, what is that for?
It's if you need to, in an
it's
emergency.
Like, come rescue me.
Yeah, and especially a lot of people put these in their cars. And it's a really good thing to put to shine on the ground.
A danger light or
danger
something
light.
Like that. Yeah,
exactly.
Or if you stalled in the
exactly.
road.
Exactly. It seems kind of silly, but yeah, it's for those all emergencies right. or danger lights or something like that. Yeah, absolutely.
This concludes our segment of Ask an Eagle Scout. Would you say right. buy, do not buy, or try?
I'm going to say buy.
OMG Chad. This could be the clamp episode of the show because I have a device that has a clamp as well. Look at that.
I have 2 clamps.
I only have 1.
Wow.
Oh, but this one's great. This is also for a summertime use because Memorial Day is coming. Our producer, Karsten Bondi, handed this to me, and I had to kind of laugh. Oh, yeah, the barbecue dragon. Yeah, sure. What is this? This is something that's supposed to get your barbecue
it's a flamethrower.
Heated up faster. No flame comes out of it. It's just a fan. In fact, I'll turn it on. It's just a battery-powered fan.
It's not heated or anything.
Not heated. 4 AA batteries are enough. Now, I used it, I don't know how long it'll go, but I used it last night to start the barbecue and to get it going. And it seems like it's got plenty of juice left. What's nice is you can use rechargeables on this. It has a USB, micro USB port on here, so you could recharge it in the car, on the car battery. So I don't think battery life is going to be an issue. It certainly was plenty for me to get the coals going. Now, the idea is it's a variable speed fan here. You're going to clamp it to the edge of your grill. It's a very strong clamp, had no trouble, and it's pretty big, so I was able to get it on the wide edge of my ceramic grill, my Big Green Egg, but a Weber cooker or whatever. The only trick on this, with a gooseneck, it's not too hard. Make sure that the fan is not sitting over the flame because you could melt it. Because basically this thing is like the bellows on a forge. It gets the fire hot. So there's 2 ways you can use it. I use a chimney to start my fire. So with the chimney, you aim it kind of to go underneath the chimney to get the fire started, and it did. It did a great job. You can see it blows up a little bit of ash. It was a windy day. And then once you've got the chimney going, and boy, and you can see underneath, it was hot. Underneath, once you've got, there we go. I had to get potholders out. Then you might clamp it on to blow. Now, you don't want to do it the whole time because this will burn out your fire in literally 5 or 6 minutes. But at about 30 seconds to a minute, what happens is just like a forge, like bellows on a forge, it gets. See
wow, you can see the coals getting really hot.
Really hot.
Wow.
So really, it's a way to start the fire faster. This is not charcoal briquettes. I use lump wood coal, mesquite, but it would work just as well with charcoal briquettes. But again, don't do it the whole time. You're only going to use it for a few minutes just to get things started. You know what? This works. It works exactly as advertised. I find nothing wrong with it. It's $25. If you're in a hurry, one of the things about charcoal grilling is it takes a while to get the coals going, like 40
right.
minutes or 50 minutes before you're ready to cook. This cuts it by a half or more. I mean, I was really able to get going within 10 minutes of the initial lighting of the grill. So that makes a big difference. If you want to grill a little bit faster, but you don't want to use accelerants that will add flavor to the meat, you know.
Or sit there with a hat.
Or wave it with a hat.
Yeah, try to get air in there.
You know, you could use, in fact, who was it? You, Karsten, that you do metal forging. He says he just uses a blow dryer on his home forge. But this would work as well. This is great. I'm going to give it a definite buy. If you want to start your barbecue faster, you see that? Burst into flame. The Barbecue Dragon, $25. And we got it online, right? Or yes, you can get it online. So there you go. I think that concludes the devices with clamps section
The
before. shucks. We were also
having
so
much
fun.
Lobster claws and all sorts of stuff.
Well, how about suction cups?
Yeah, you know, that's
all
a
right,
good
that counts. I get this call all the time on the radio show. People are asking now a lot about dash cams. Dash cams are little cameras that record your travels as you travel around. I think people have seen them in taxi cabs. Some states, some cities mandate these so that in case of an accident, they can go back and look at the video and see who was at fault. They're for some reason very popular in Russia.
Well, oh, you know why?
Why?
Because everyone's
suing everybody.
So crooked is what I hear. What I hear, allegedly. I truly don't know. But what I hear is that everyone's so crooked that if you don't have video evidence of what happened, you can't convince any. But of course, and you saw that meteorite.
Well, I was going to say,
I think that's really why everyone wants
the most recorded event in meteorite history.
Yeah.
Was everybody had dashboard cams of the meteorite hitting the lake in Russia last year. So we've looked at a number of different ones. Garmin makes one. This one's fairly inexpensive. It's the Papago dashboard cam, and we gave it to the guy who does all of our driving. Brian Burnett, because he's
the only one who knows how to drive.
He's the only one who knows how to drive, and he tried it out. So let's take a look. Brian Burnett, our technical director, and the Papago dash cam.
This is Brian Burnett from Before You Buy, and today I'm taking a look at a couple of dash cams from the Papago company. And if you're like me and you've seen some of the Russian compilation videos of the dash cam footage, you might think to yourself, why do all the Russians have the fun when it comes to insurance fraud? Well, no longer. Using one of these dash cams, you can record your commute, and it's a handy way of protecting yourself in case an accident happens or you capture something out of the ordinary on your daily commute. So, taking a closer look at the P2 Pro dash cam from Papago, at first glance, it definitely feels and looks like something that you would get out of a Happy Meal. Kind of cheap feeling, but really, this is just a simple device that's going to sit on your dash, and you're not going to want to play with it that much anyway. So as long as it's functional, not too big of a deal. So on the back of the P2 Pro is a 2-inch LCD screen, which is mostly there just to help you position the camera and make sure that it's aimed where you'd like it. Now, neither of these cameras' mounts allow you a lot of flexibility with the mounting point, so trying to record Ozzy in the car wouldn't work very well. But it did do a great job of capturing Burke almost hitting a pedestrian.
Oops. Sorry, man.
What it can do is record 1080p at 30 frames per second, and it has a 3.5 megapixel image sensor with a 130-degree field of view, which means you'll be capturing most of what's going on in front of your car. It also does a cycle recording, which allows an old file to be replaced automatically with new files. It also has HDMI outputs for HDTV playback, and it has a camera speed warning, a built-in G sensor, and customizable sensitivity settings that automatically back up footage in case of a collision or some sort of other incident involving your car. I was able to convince Karsten and Burke to do some driving for me and get this footage. So Karsten took on the P2 Pro, and you can see the footage here is inside of a dark parking garage, so it does pretty well in low light. As he's driving down the road, you can see both lanes of the road and pretty much everything that's in front of the car. The P2 Pro comes with GPS, which keeps track of your position and monitors your speed. This could come in handy if you wanted to track the exact position of an accident or a route that you've been going on. It'll also pick up audio via microphone on the bottom of it that allows us to listen in on Karsten's audiobook.
But the other woman only stared at them. The anger had gone out of her.
The next dash cam we're looking at is the Papago GoSave 330. Now, this is the $135 dash cam from Papago, and it doesn't have as many features as the P2 Pro, but what it does have is a 2-inch LCD display on the back, and it records at 1080p at 30 frames per second, has a 5-megapixel image sensor, so things look a little bit more detailed. The color is a little bit better also, but again, this is a dash cam, so you're not going to be making videos out of it. And both of these dash cams have a active car safety system that if they detect an accident through the accelerometer, it'll automatically record the video so you don't have to worry about losing it. So the pros and cons for both these dash cameras is they're both extremely easy to use. Basically, plug them in and start recording. The next pro is video. While it's not on the same caliber as a GoPro, it is good enough for capturing your daily commute. And the last pro is they have a lot of features, like a collision warning system, a stop and go alert, a light reminder, and a driver fatigue alert. A lot of things that you would find in a lot of higher end vehicles. And for the cons, the suction cup for one is pretty tiny, and if you don't get it on the windshield quite well enough, it's prone to falling off. Also, Karsten noted that the cable that he was using got really, really hot, and actually to the point where it kind of melted a little bit. The camera functioned fine, but the cable got really warm. And the last con is they both feel like pretty cheap toys. Not that you need your dash cam to feel premium, it's just they definitely feel like they came out of a McDonald's Happy Meal. So for buy, try, or don't buy, for the P2 Pro being at $200, I'd have to say it's a try, because it does have a few more features than the 330, and it does have GPS, which could be really nice to have. But the additional price for not much better image quality, I'd have to give it a try. So the 330, I would give a buy if you're looking for a simple-to-use dash cam for every day. So this has been Brian Burnett from Twit reviewing the PapaGo P2 Pro and the GoSafe 330. Thanks for watching.
So Brian Burnett, thank you for almost crashing my car.
No problem.
In the interest of reviewing the PapaGo dashboard cam. Let me ask you this. Had you actually run into that guy, would the dashboard cam have acquitted you?
Or no. No. It doesn't actually exist. That footage doesn't exist.
Not anymore. It doesn't. It's a record of what actually happened. I think that's cool. And I think having a dashboard cam is a great idea. Do insurance companies give you a break if you have a dashboard cam?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, they mandate it in cabs and some public vehicles, but I think it's only a matter of time. Well, thank you, Brian Burnett, our technical director, and whenever there's driving involved. Mm-hmm. He's the only guy in the office, apparently, who can drive and review at the same time.
And almost hit people.
Tanya Hall's here in just a bit. We're going to review a wet-dry robotic vacuum cleaner. And I'm mad that they gave that to the woman. Like some sexist thing.
You know,
I reviewed the last robotic vacuum cleaner, so it's okay. Would you like, I'm trying to make it up to you, a praline pumpkin seed?
Yes.
No, wait, don't.
But wait,
there's more. The Santa Fe corn sticks. What's your favorite? The mango. Oh, I love these mango almond
bites.
You
said mango. You had me at mango.
Lemon pucker pistachios.
Ooh, will I pucker?
You will. They're very tart, but they're delicious. But you know what's great about all of these? These are the Nature Box snacks. They're all free of high fructose corn syrup, free of hydrogenated oils, no trans fats, no artificial flavors or sweeteners or colors. In fact, this... The lemon pucker pistachios are, what do you think's in here? Pistachio nuts, sea salt, lemon juice from concentrate, and a little citric acid to make you go, nothing but good stuff. Nutritionist approved. Nature Box snacks are delivered to your door every month. You can get three different sizes of boxes. You can say, I want sweet or savory or spicy or mix it up for me. You can say, I'm a vegan, I want gluten conscious, no nuts. You know, they complete control over what you get. They have over 100 different delicious snacks. And if you use our offer code TWIT at naturebox.com/TWIT, you'll get half off your first box. But I got to tell you, they're addictive. We get them at work here so much better than, you know, about 2 in the afternoon. You just want to go in the back there, get a candy bar out of the machine. No, we do not have candy bar machines or soda machines,
nope.
Do we? Nope. We have Nature Box. And together with Nature Box, we're fighting hunger. Over 150,000 meals have been donated to date by NatureBox. Thanks to you. NatureBox.com/twit. Go ahead. Enjoy your mango clusters.
I can eat this now.
Well, probably you should wait till after the review.
That's what I thought. I actually want to try that pistachio pucker.
Really? See, I knew. I told you, don't pick too soon. There's a whole lot of different items in the NatureBox. NatureBox.com/twit to save 50%. All right. Tanya Hall's here, the host of Marketing Mavericks, one of our newest employees here. We love having you. Thank you for joining the Twit Network.
Thank you.
She moved all the way from Colorado.
What an honor, too.
Well, you're doing great. And by the way, yesterday's Marketing Mavericks, you moved it up
in time. It was. It's normally every Tuesday morning.
Correct.
8:30 a.m.
Yes.
Pacific, 11:30 Eastern time. But you moved it up, and I am glad you did because you got a big scoop yesterday.
Yeah, so Scott Monty came on.
Everybody, we all love Scott Monty. He's the social media guy for Ford. Very natty dresser.
Yeah.
He's a Sherlock Holmes fan, does a podcast on Sherlock Holmes.
And does a lot of voices, too, if you've ever checked out his.
Love him.
And he's not shy. So.
No, he's definitely not. And has really, I think, done a lot for Ford over the last, he must have been there 3 or 4 years now.
He's going to have tough shoes to fill, I think.
He's leaving.
He is leaving. He announced it an hour before our show. It was breaking. In fact, he was like a couple of minutes late connecting on the show because he was trying to hurry and write his own blog post
right.
so that it could go out. And then it was a busy night for him, I think.
Love Scott. Scott, all our best to you. I know whatever you're going to, and we still don't know where he's going. Is going to be a very big thing.
There's an office pool, I think. We're all like placing bets on where he thinks it's going to be. So.
All right. So we gave you, now I have the iRobot, in fact, I think it was the first robotic vacuum cleaner. And I have a couple of those. They do a wet dry as well. This is from a company called, how do you pronounce that? Manual.
It's a Ritas H67 Pro. It's not their most expensive model, but it does vacuum, mop, and it has a hybrid mode, so it can do both.
So this would be useful in a house where, like, if you have, well, with Ozzy, he comes in with muddy paws. It'd be nice to sweep up the dust, but then also go back over it with a mop to get the paw prints up.
Absolutely. I mean, I was pretty excited. I mean, you know, the idea of having a robot do your vacuuming for you, and unlike you.
So this is remote control. Does this do it automatically, or?
What do you mean, unlike me?
I'm waiting to hear the rest of that sentence. Unlike me.
Unlike you, you're a vacuum connoisseur. Like, you know all of this stuff about vacuums.
I have four vacuum cleaners plus several handheld vacuum cleaners plus two Roombas. So I guess you're right. I am a vacuum connoisseur.
That's a resume builder.
Is this your first? Are you excited?
This is my first. In fact, I'm kind of anti-vacuum. Next to taking out the trash, it's my least favorite
thing to do. Well,
no one
likes to vacuum.
Some people do.
The idea is this wanders in kind of a random walk while you're away from home.
Yes.
And we'll just clean up for you.
Yes. And you can be there certainly for it. And there's probably what I found is a lot of reason to be there. The idea for me was I was pretty excited because I could set it up. Here goes. What's going to happen?
It's supposedly got edge detection. So it supposedly will not go off the edge. If it does, then that would be a fail. Now, obviously, you don't do this on your desk. You do this on the floor. It's got these little whiskers. This is very much like the Roomba. It's got little whiskers that whip up the stuff into the... whoa, see that? Look at that. Hey, anybody? Here, give me some lemon pucker pistachios.
Okay.
Let's see what happens.
I want a pucker.
Let's just see what happens for the... whoa. We should put a dashboard cam on that thing.
I know.
All right.
Are you going to give the... Oh, here it goes.
Somebody made a terrible mess on this desk. These are too big for the...
I don't know if it'll pick that up. I did have a hard time getting it to pick up larger objects. It did great with dust bunnies. In fact, one of the things that it does is it will go under chairs and tables. it'll go under your bed. And so if you have wipeable floors, which... You know, if you're vacuuming with Leo, you might want to because you're going to have a mess.
Look at that. It's perfectly clean. It's amazing.
It does a lot of things that that I liked. It did get stuck a lot. So, whoa, and it's a fail. I'm so sorry about that.
It's saying something.
It does talk to you.
So all of this is, you know, ooh. All right. This is like the Roomba. It's automatic. When it's done, does it go dock in its station and charge some more?
It is supposed to, and it doesn't always, and sometimes
yeah,
it'll...
Yeah, neither do the Roomba.
It'll go for like 10 minutes before it, and finally you just have to pick it up
and put it on
the docking station. And it's very difficult to understand. Oh, no, Leo. It likes you.
So here's a video of it doing our floors here. Now, one thing that I liked about the Roombas, you knew it did some work because you could empty out the chamber and see there was stuff in there.
Yes, so it works really well on dust bunnies. Not as well on the
pistachio nuts. It's not great.
Lemon pucker pistachios. Yeah. That said, it's pretty lightweight. And like I said, it does go under chairs and your table. So, like, one possible use is if you have a dinner party, you want to set this thing up as you go to bed. It's going to clean up. It's going to be clean by the time you get up in the morning, hopefully. It does.
I got to say one thing.
Yeah.
You don't. These are loud. You probably don't want to have them running when you're home.
It is a little loud as we're talking louder.
All vacuum cleaners are loud. I don't like it that it's pushing its charger around. That doesn't seem like good behavior.
It's a pushy. It's a bad, naughty robot. But, you know, there's that.
All right. So pros and cons.
Pros and cons. Pro? If I can get away from the robot for a second. It's going to knock these over, Leo.
You know, it really is seeing the edge. It's stopping a little precariously, but it seems to.
Pro, it's a robot. Who doesn't want to have a vacuum robot?
Right.
And I don't even like vacuums.
They're cool.
It does vacuum mop, and it's got a hybrid mode. I like the fact that it mops. And one really cool thing is, you know, replacement mops can be expensive, but you can actually use, like, Swiffer and stuff like that to replace it. You don't
It'll work with Swiffers.
Yep.
All right.
It's got lots of features, but the cons is it's got lots of features, and it's kind of hard to understand what those are.
I still
are
haven't programmed my iRoomba. It's got, you know, you could tell it where not to go. You could say what time of day. It's very complicated. It's worse than a VCR.
It should be easy.
Yeah.
It's got a roller brush, too, which I actually don't like because guess what? I've got long hair.
You
got to
clean it up.
I had to clean it constantly.
With dog
hairs.
Oh, God. So picking up hair, not so good.
Right. And the other thing is it does get stuck pretty constantly. So
well, it's stuck now, like underneath something, or
it tries to climb over if you've got sandals
when you saw
by the front
it, tried
door,
to climb over the stanchion,
or a cord on the floor,
and it just
or something.
It couldn't go anywhere after that.
It will get stuck, and there you go. We had this problem earlier today. It kept getting stuck.
It's more aggressive than the Roomba.
It's very aggressive. It's very aggressive, Leo.
And, like an angry Roomba.
Don't. It's a little scary. I'm not even gonna lie.
So. My problem with the Roomba was even after it ran, it shouldn't go up on things. Even after it ran, I still had to vacuum. It wasn't like it was done.
Yeah.
It helped, like, kind of to run it regularly just helped a little bit, but you still had to vacuum. It wasn't like you didn't have to clean.
Which is my biggest complaint. I just told you I don't like to vacuum.
Right.
So I was kind of excited, but yeah, it is only really for like dust bunnies and kind of maybe in between cleaning. And so
it's mostly cool.
It is kind of cool.
It's mostly just cool. At $300, this one is $399?
It's $399, and that was another reason I was really excited about it, because unlike it's some of its competition.
Roomba's $800 bucks.
Exactly. $799, $699, yeah. That do pretty much the same thing.
Right.
It's quite a bit cheaper, but oh, God.
It's pushing my laptop.
It's
off
really.
The edge.
It's a mean, but mad,
it's
naughty
very
vacuum.
Aggressive. That almost tried to push my computer off
the
table.
I think that's what it is.
Well, don't use this on the table.
Oh, God, here goes.
All right, so I'm thinking, what, buy, try, don't buy?
I really wanted it to be at least a try, but it's got psychiatric, it's got issues. I'm going to have to say, sadly, don't buy.
Do not buy for the, Manuel?
The Manuel Ritus H67 Pro. It's so close to being there, and I tell you what, if you've got $400 and you just want to own a robot, maybe it's a buy for you.
Yeah. All right. You can turn it off now.
I don't have the remote.
Oh.
You do.
Cleaning is canceled. So is the Ritus computer robot mower. Canceled. Thank you, Tanya Hall.
Yes.
And your pistachio puckers. I don't have a full review of this because I'm an idiot. This is... But I want to talk a little bit about it. We bought this on eBay. Carson bought this on eBay from ZTE, which is the Chinese phone company. In fact, the Chinese phone company, the United States Congress said don't buy anything from because it might have spyware in it. This is the first Firefox OS phone, and that's kind of cool. We wanted to take a look at the Firefox OS. It's also inexpensive, $99. Not a great phone, but not a bad phone for $99. One button, a capacitive button for home. There's no back or any of the traditional Android buttons. And despite the fact that it kind of feels a little bit like Android, it isn't Android. So don't get confused. You've got icons on a screen. It does have a Facebook app from Facebook, a Twitter app from Twitter. And, of course, the Firefox browser, you have email and so forth. It will log in when you first set it up to your Outlook account or your Google account and download all your contacts. I was able to do that and get my contacts into the phone very quickly and very easily. But it's not synchronizing. That's a one-shot download into the phone. It doesn't have a huge app store. In fact, if we go to the marketplace, they call it, you'll see there's a fairly limited number of apps here. And none of the, well, or few of the apps that you'd expect. Facebook, Twitter, there's a SoundCloud app, a fake Pac-Man, a fake card game. There's YouTube. That's it. You know, it's not a very complete app store because it is an Android. There may be everything you need here. This is not really designed for developed nations, not for nations where you'd buy top of the line phones. This is a low cost phone running an open source operating system designed for places where people want a smartphone, but they don't want us to pay, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars for smartphones. Limited services. There's no Google Maps on here. It didn't tie into Google Calendars. You can get email, but you'll have to configure it kind of by hand. The fact that I entered in the Google account for the contacts doesn't propagate to anywhere else. It has a camera, but not a great camera. Again, you really can't compare this with camera. Oh, yeah, this is actually good. It does have GPS built in this, but it has a radio, FM radio, which is apparently very important in developing nations. But you really can't compare it to top-of-the-line phones. That's not the market it's aimed after. We got it mostly because we wanted to take a look at the Firefox OS. And the Firefox OS is great. I mean, it's very stable. It's kind of exactly what you expect. It's hurt just as all the non-Android and iOS phones are hurt by a lack of applications in the App Store. I don't expect a whole lot more applications. Pretty much what you see is what you get. It's a good basic phone. I have to say, on the buy, try, do not buy scale, I'm going to say do not buy for almost everybody. There are excellent $99 choices that do have complete app stores. There are Android phones for $99. The Moto G and the Moto E, up forthcoming Moto E, are excellent phones, but inexpensive. Nokia makes a 1520, which is an excellent, inexpensive phone. So there are a lot of choices for $100 that don't involve buying this phone on eBay, taking the chance of buying a phone from a Chinese company that has, you know, maybe shady connections with the Chinese military. It takes a standard micro SIM, and it does take an SD card, which is kind of nice. There's room for an SD card here and the micro SIM here. So you can connect it to any GSM carrier. I'm not sure if it'll use the LTE bands. I'm almost certain it will not. It's an interesting phone. It's interesting to play with. It is probably going to disappoint anybody who has any experience with the Android and iOS ecosystems. So a do not buy on the Firefox phone from ZTE. But an interesting attempt and really interesting to see.
Why do you think it's only available on eBay?
Because to keep the price down, they've made sure that they don't have any relationships with any carriers in the United States. Or they don't want to charge. They don't want to give any money to any retailers. They want to keep that price very low. But there are less expensive phones that are more capable. Even the Nokia X phones, which are running Android, are less than this. So it's hard for me to recommend it. It's an interesting thing. The Firefox OS is an interesting idea and is much more stable than the pre-release versions that I played with. It's, as far as I can tell, completely stable now. Works great with Wi-Fi. Just can't really recommend it unless you know what you're going to plan for it. Maybe you want to hack around with it. Maybe you just want an inexpensive phone for a kid that is primarily a phone with a few basic smartphone features. Hard to recommend otherwise. The ZTE Firefox OS phone, $99, eBay only. And Karsten saved me because I forgot to put the back. It looked like it didn't have an opening back. And I tried to charge it and it wouldn't charge. And I thought, well, it's broken, partly because I expected it to be broken. And then he said, well, no, you didn't put the battery in. So the back does come off and you can't put the battery in it. So there's just a little tip if you do buy the phone. All right, everybody, that's it for Before You Buy. Hey, I want to thank you, Tanya Hall. Congratulations on Marketing Mavericks, a great show. And thanks for your review of the Ritus robot, wet dry robot. This was kind of an interesting show. Chad Johnson for her clamping flashlights. Brian Burnett for the dashboard cams. We thank you for joining us. We do Before You Buy every Tuesday, right before Tech News Tonight, about 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 Eastern Time. You can watch the entire show at twit.tv/BYB. We make individual reviews available as well on YouTube, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. If there's something you'd like to see on the show, you'll be writing to Tanya, who gets gadgets for us, or Karsten Bondi. You can email byb@twit.tv. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Remember, you got to watch Before You Buy. Take care.